This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
My name is Caitlin Plant, and I am the Program Manager at Distress and Crisis Ontario. Thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast. May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. This year's theme for Mental Health Week is, quote, "A Call to Be Kind," end quote. The Canadian Mental Health Association, or CMHA, shares, quote, "We all have the capacity to be compassionate, and we know that doing so can make an enormous difference. This year's Mental Health Week is centered on the healing power of compassion. In a world plagued by suffering, we emphasize that kindness is equally intrinsic to our humanity," end quote. Today, I am joined by Caitlin, DCO's Marketing and Communications Manager, to share our own perspectives of the importance of kindness and compassion. So, Caitlin, what do you think about this year's theme?
Yeah, thank you for the introduction. I think it's a wonderful theme. I think that so often when it comes to kindness and interacting with other people, especially since COVID, people are quick to jump to anger or get a little snippy, you know, like even in a coffee shop, your barista gets something wrong. And, you know, I was a barista during COVID, and it was many a time where people, you know, snip, and it really impacts your entire day. And then you go on thinking, oh, did I really do something so wrong that, you know, that required that level of ill will, essentially. So I think that it's really wonderful that we're reflecting on the kindness and compassion that we have the ability to give to other people, because that equally brings someone up. You know, when you have a wonderful interaction with someone, you want to pass that on. You want to share that. You want to compliment other people's sweaters or, you know, their overall energy. I think it's really important to spread kindness. Yeah, in little ways and in big ways too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think people sometimes don't fully understand the huge impact that little things can have. Like, you can completely turn somebody's day around just by giving them 5 minutes of positive interaction. It's like that thing that I know you've shared on the podcast before. What is it? 5 seconds? 5 seconds of eye contact?
Yeah, it's the five, like the 5-10 rule. So if you see someone like 10 meters away, you give them a little smile or a hello, just something simple as that. Just an acknowledgement that they're there and you're there. And then if you're 5 meters away, then you interact with them and you maybe talk to them and just share overall kindness with one another. So it's like a very easy way to interact with the world around you. You feel better, you help other people feel better, and we're spreading kindness.
So Margaret Eaton, the national CEO of CMHA, said, quote, "Compassion is the practice of meeting suffering, whether our own or the suffering of others, with kindness. We all have the capacity to be compassionate and can benefit from its healing qualities," end quote. So I know you shared a couple examples of when maybe the negative interactions you've had have impacted your day, but do you have any examples of when someone showed kindness or compassion towards you and it made a difference?
Yeah, actually, really recently, I was going out for dinner with my partner, and we were just walking, and I was kind of having a weird day. I wasn't feeling super great about myself, and, you know, work was stressful and all of these other things, feeling a bit overwhelmed. And I don't know. This woman just came up to me and she said, "Oh, I really love your sweater." And it just totally brought me up to like this. I was so happy and excited that like someone saw me as, a person and complimented. Not that it has to be a compliment, but extended their kindness beyond their own world. And I didn't know who they were, and then we kept on walking, but it really brought a smile to my face and made me feel really quite wonderful. And it was only maybe a 5 second interaction that totally changed my entire mood, and everything that I was feeling that day more or less went away, in that moment at least, and brought some positivity into my own worldview. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
What about
awesome.
you?
Again, not too long ago, I had one of those instances where I got stuck behind somebody really slow in a drive-through. And I was like sitting in my car being like, what is taking this person so long? Like, I have things to do, places to be. Like, what is happening here? And it was one of those double drive-throughs where, like, I technically probably could have had the opportunity to like back up and go into the other lane, but I just stayed where I was because there was other people coming through and stuff. And what ended up happening is once I finally like got the opportunity to order and got up to the window to pay, the person in front of me had paid for my order as well because they felt bad that they had taken so long and they appreciated that I wasn't like honking and that kind of thing. And so the lady at the window said, like, the person ahead of you paid for your order because they like felt bad that they slowed you down and they appreciated that you didn't like make a fuss about it kind of thing. So the fact that like they picked up on me just outwardly patiently waiting, even though inwardly I was kind of annoyed and like appreciated that I wasn't honking, being angry, whatever. And I got like a free breakfast out of it. So it was kind of one of those, okay, like being patient and showing kindness, even just in not being frustrated, they appreciated that and benefited me. So that's one, yeah, that comes to mind for me.
Yeah, and I think patience too is huge right now. I think, I mean, with I sound maybe a bit old saying this, but with all the phones and our technology, the internet is so quick, and especially the way that we digest information is also really fast through those like 30-second videos on TikTok or Instagram reels, wherever that is. I feel like we've lost a lot of our patience as well, which I think is a facet of kindness, because you are being understanding and listening to what this other person is maybe needing, or you're just attending to their needs as well. And so I think that's really wonderful too.
The CMHA highlights the following things as ways to practice compassion. So, first is showing warmth and understanding during times of suffering, failure, or perceived inadequacy. Second is acknowledging that both suffering and personal shortcomings are unavoidable aspects of the shared human experience. And lastly is adopting a balanced approach to emotions to ensure feelings are neither suppressed nor exaggerated. And I laugh at that one because that's the one that I'm most like, yeah, I'm not very good at not suppressing my emotions. So I'm wondering if any of those jump out at you too.
Yeah, definitely that. I feel like you suppress things for so long, and then all of a sudden, again, it's the drop of a spoon or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're blowing up at the spoon for slipping out of your hand, because there's a million things that you have been kind of boiling underneath that lid. But also, I mean, all of them I think are wonderful, but I'm also drawn to showing warmth and understanding during times of suffering, failure, or perceived inadequacy. Again, like with social media and all of these things that we're consuming, there really is like a strive for perfection and yeah, perfection. And I think people are overwhelming themselves with that feeling. And so when they do fail or suffer in some way, like it becomes this like overwhelming sense that like people are seeing that and looking at that, and you're feeling like maybe you're less than other people. So by finding ways to support people in failure and suffering, because that's all part of the human experience, is really important, I think.
And even that perceived inadequacy, like you were feeling inadequate in yourself at that moment when you were walking to dinner with your partner, right? You were feeling like you weren't quite living up to expectations that you had for yourself. And just that one person's, like you said, 5-second comment totally flipped your day around and totally flipped like your mindset and helped you move through that perceived inadequacy probably a lot faster than you would have if you hadn't gotten that compliment, right?
Yeah.
So those really small things can really help in those moments too.
Absolutely.
Often, Mental Health Week places an emphasis on children's mental health as an important population to address because, I think we all know that the kids are really struggling right now, especially with COVID. And always, the kids are the future, right? And we want to make sure the future are in good standing. So according to Northeastern Ontario Family and Children's Services, quote, as many as 1 in 5 Ontario children and youth will experience some form of mental health problem. That's about 500,000 kids. Of those kids, 5 out of 6 will not receive the treatment they need. Disorders range from anxiety, depression, and conduct disorder to eating disorders, psychosis, and bipolar disorder. Left untreated, mental health disorders can lead to school failure, family conflicts, drug abuse, and even suicide. End quote. So we both know that my original plan was to try to have my 8th grader on this podcast with me, and that didn't exactly go the way that we hoped that it would. Kids will be kids. Any parents listening probably know exactly how that went and can kind of laugh to themselves a little bit right now. So thank you for graciously stepping in and doing this with me instead.
Absolutely.
But I think one of the interesting things that I saw as we were preparing for it is she read those statistics and she was not even slightly surprised by them. She went, yep, that makes sense. And I've felt that way. And I've felt that way. And I've struggled with that. And it was really eye-opening that like she was not at all surprised by that list of things, which tells me that like the kids know, like they know what's up. They know what's going on and they know how bad things can be. And I know that like there've been a couple of times where she's had friends post things on like their Snapchat stories, or they've texted her things or that kind of stuff. And she's been really worried about them. And I can very proudly say that my kid is the kid that reaches out to somebody else to say, hey, I'm really worried about this person, whether she comes to me first and we come up with a plan together, or she immediately reaches out to someone that she knows like can have a bigger impact than her. She's really good at doing that. And I'm really proud of her for that. But there's so much going on. Like I was saying before we started recording, like I obviously, as most of our listeners know, have a lot of connections to my best friend, who's a therapist who works with a lot of kids. My father is an addictions counselor who works in a youth program. My mother is an intake coordinator at a counseling agency that serves kids and families and everyone in between. And everyone is seeing such an uptake in services and so many kids who are struggling. And I think obviously something that had a huge impact on kids, especially was COVID, no matter what age they were. Like I'm in kind of a unique position again with 2 kids that have such a big age gap that COVID definitely impacted one more than the other. But like my little one was born in the middle of it and had such a different childhood compared to like my older one. And I don't really know what the long-term effects of that are going to be compared to like the older one hated virtual schooling. Understandably, I hate virtual schoolwork. Like it sucks. And like she had a couple of friendships that were lost through COVID because like families chose to go different ways and that kind of stuff. Like it had such a huge impact. And it's so hard to know how to unpack all of these things and how best to support kids. But I think really it comes back to those 3 things that CMHA highlighted. So like always showing warmth and understanding and acknowledging that they are human and that struggling with these things is a human experience, not something that is like punishable or undesirable or makes them less than. And trying really hard to help them learn how to balance their emotions, which like I said, I'm really bad at that sometimes. Like I'm really bad at letting people know what I'm actually feeling. I'd rather just keep everything to myself. And I know my oldest is really similar to me in that way. And my youngest maybe overshares. He's maybe a little bit too open with the way he feels. I might have overcorrected in that sense. But he's also really good already at 3 years old at taking a step back, taking literally a deep breath, and just kind of giving himself a moment to calm and reassess and work through those big emotions. It's kind of become a running joke in our household that anytime he notices that anybody is even slightly emotional, it doesn't even have to be upset. It can just be like, we're really excited and we're being loud or anything like that. It's, hey guys, take a deep breath. And it's, it's the best. Like, we absolutely love that he does that. And I think it shows some of that balance, at least. And we can learn from him. We've all gotten a lot better at taking those deep breaths when we need to, because he's so good at it. But yeah, it's definitely a much larger conversation. And I would have loved to have had the conversation with my older kiddo, but alas. But yeah, I'm just wondering, I know you work in kind of the theater sector as well, and there are a lot of added pressures and things that come with being more in the public eye with that. And I'm wondering if you've got any kind of perspectives from that that might come into play too.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a kid doing theater, that was a really interesting way to kind of what's the word? Not necessarily balance emotions, but understand what these emotions are and what they maybe look like. Which is interesting to understand at a young-ish age, knowing that, okay, I'm going to be playing a very angry character, and this is what anger looks like, or a very sad character, this is what sadness looks like. So I think in the theater sphere, we have all of these things that tell us what it looks like. And it took a long time to figure out what does it actually feel like to feel these emotions? And then that's where this kind of balancing act has come into play, and why I'm more of a suppressor than a expressor in odd ways. But I think that giving kids kind of a way to maybe express those emotions, and that anger doesn't look like just one thing. I think that's like an important thing to acknowledge, which I didn't really understand as a kid. I thought it was one thing. It's loud and it's yelling. But it's not. It's a whole scope of different things. It's different for everyone. How people express things are so different. So I think it's important to teach kids in theater that it really is so unique to the person. And it's important to share that knowledge, especially with young kids. So I guess that's my perspective from a theater view. But yeah, also I think the other thing, when I was in high school, I taught kids theater, and they are so smart. I think kids are so, so, so smart, and people don't give them enough credit, because of course, you know, they're younger, they don't have as much experience. But like you're saying, your 3 year old is acknowledging when, okay, maybe everyone needs to take a deep breath now. Like, there's so much that we can learn from them. And I think that's an important thing to look into as well. And when they're telling us, okay, I'm feeling these ways, that we take it seriously and we go, okay, yeah, you're feeling these ways. Let's look at what that means, and how can I best support you? Because they are so smart and they are really in tune with emotions, I think. Even if they don't necessarily have the words to articulate it, I think they understand it maybe even at a deeper level than we do, because we've been taught to suppress these things. Whereas, yeah, I mean, babies, right? All they know is that emotional drive. They don't have words to describe what it is. So I think that's also really interesting to reflect on and to think about as well.
I think a really good tool for like all of these things are those feelings wheels, right? Because they're really good at, like you said, anger doesn't always look the same for everybody. And maybe that's because one person's anger is coming from fear, whereas another person's anger is coming from disappointment, whereas another person's anger is coming from hurt. Like all of those things are going to have slightly different roots and slightly different paths, right? And feelings wheels can be really, really good at kind of pinpointing, oh, okay, this is what my anger is trying to tell me, or my sadness is trying to tell me, or like even my happiness kind of thing, right? Like they're really good at helping like pinpoint those things. So if you've not ever looked at a feelings wheel, I would definitely suggest it to our listeners. You can really, really easily just Google it and find one online, and they're usually pretty similar. But yeah, that's definitely something I would suggest. So I'm just wondering if this conversation and thinking about this year's theme has made you maybe decide to make any changes for your own mental health or the way that you're hoping to kind of potentially impact others.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always nice to be reminded of showing compassion to others because I mean, you do get bogged down by work and life and your own things. So I absolutely am reflecting on, okay, how can I be more compassionate and kind to others? Whatever that is, as small as it, as small as a smile, you know, a smile goes a long way. And then also recognizing like when other people are trying to be compassionate to me and maybe letting them in more, you know, sometimes you kind of close off even when someone's being kind to you. So reflecting on that as well, letting kindness into yourself so you can give it back out, I think is what I'm taking away from this conversation.
I think that's awesome. That's awesome to acknowledge that, yeah, it's really easy to think about, oh, what are all the things that I can do for other people? And then just kind of not let anything change for yourself. So I think that's definitely a good reminder to give. And yeah, just one of the things that I do a lot when someone is struggling and I'm not anywhere near them is I tell them to go for a walk and find three things that made them smile. But I don't often do that myself. And so maybe that's something that I can try to implement. And I might not even, maybe I don't have time to actually leave the house and go for a walk, but I can still sit where I am and look around and find those things, right? And that can be kind of a moment of self-compassion that I can give myself more often. So yeah, before we go, I'm just wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add.
Well, just thank you so much for having me on. I know the eighth grader's not not here, and I'm sad that she wasn't because I love hearing from her. But I hope that this was intuitive for our listeners and for you as well, Caitlin. I hope that that was a good enough conversation.
Definitely. Another way of showing self-compassion. Instead of getting upset about it, I really quickly texted you and said, hey, that was a disaster. Can we pivot? And I appreciate that. So instead of
Anytime.
being, yeah, too frustrated, I think this was hopefully, yes, equally as impactful and helpful. And thank you to everyone for listening to today's episode. Of course, as always, if you do need support for anything, if you're struggling with anything going on in your life, our member centers are here to help. You can find your nearest center, many of whom operate 24/7, by visiting our website at www.dcontario.org/locations. And also, if you have any feedback on this podcast, or if you'd like to request future content, or if you have any questions, anything at all, please do use the link in the show notes to fill out our feedback form. We would love to hear from you. I will also stick a couple links in the show notes to some of the things that CMHA is doing for this theme. I know one of the things that they're doing, which is kind of interesting, is they're partnering with the children's show Nanoland to try to help teach kids some more about self-compassion and just being kind in general as well. So I'll put a couple links in the show notes as well, if anybody wants to check those things out. So thank you again for listening, and I hope everyone is able to show themselves and the people around them a little bit more compassion and kindness this week and moving forward.